I'm so excited for tonight's message, so excited for this series that we've been on. Have you been helped? Has life just changed for you because of this? My goodness. And we're going to pray here before we get into it, but this is part four of our series entitled Walking in Divine Healing. And so I'm so excited for this part of the series tonight. So let's pray and just get right in, dive right in. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for all that you've given to us. Father, for all that you've done for us. Now, Lord, you didn't leave us here to wander or to wonder. No, you gave us a roadmap. You gave us a GPS and a compass for life called the Word of God. Now, Father, we're not here to hear opinions. We're not here to hear theories, philosophies, or ideas, or thoughts of man. No, we're here to hear from heaven. So, Father, as I open my mouth, I thank you, you will fill it. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that I'll hit bullseyes in every single person's heart here tonight. And what I mean by that, Father, is you're going to say things through me that are going to be specific and pertinent to each person's life and situation and circumstance. It'll be supernatural help. Father, so much so that the hearer will think, how did he know that I needed to hear that? And the truth is I didn't, but you did, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that you can take a room full of people going through different things, different seasons of life, facing different circumstances, and speak to each and every one of our hearts on an individual, specific basis. So, Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for what's about to take place. Father, it's always because of you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, you're in for a treat tonight because the word is a treat, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah, you know. And so we're so thankful. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time for review, so I'm just going to go down quickly through here. What we've talked about up until this point, but aren't you glad for technology? Amen. All these messages are on live stream. If you go to our website, which is on the back of that card, and you just go to sermons, there'll be a drop-down tab there for the South Dayton Archives and the Allegheny Archives, or if you just click sermons, they'll all be jumbled together there in the order that they were preached. But the first part, the first three parts of this series are on there. And so just quickly to go through what we've seen so far, when it comes to walking in divine healing, again, what I said earlier today, we are a word church. What do I mean by that? We don't care what we think. We don't care what so-and-so says. We don't care what we feel. We don't care what our theories are. What does God think? We want his thoughts, his ideas, his plans, and his ways. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, and that's just a good thing for you going forward to admonish you on. It doesn't matter who has a ministry. It doesn't matter if they're on TV. It doesn't matter if they can tie their tie real nice and look, you know, dress up and preach a sermon. It doesn't matter. It matters what comes out of their mouth. Is it the Bible? If it's not the Bible, run for the hills. Amen? We want the Word of God. And so what we saw, if you're going to receive walk in divine healing, you know, one of the verses, we don't need to pull this up, Hosea 4:6 is so enlightening. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's what God said in Hosea 4:6. He didn't say they're destroyed because of their last name or what part of the world they grew up in. He said they're destroyed because they don't know enough. Well, society says what you don't know won't hurt you, but the Bible says what you don't know will hurt you. Society will say that ignorance is bliss, but that's not what the Word says. Jesus actually said in John 8:32, if you know the truth, then you'll be set free. He didn't say just because there's truth, you'll be set free. You have to know the truth. And so many people have come out of places like I came out of, like my family came out of, like so many places like you came out of, where they weren't taught the Bible, where they people around people that loved God, you know, and that were excited about Jesus and salvation, but didn't go further than the cross, never learned about the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. I'm not an English major, but because there's an S on the end of that word promise, that means it's plural. Did you know that that means it's plural? And that means that there's more than one promise. But you know, I grew up being told it was just about salvation, but thank God, it's not just about salvation. Once we get born again, now that's the greatest gift. We go further, we go on from salvation. But so many people, like myself included, had no idea. We're not taught these things in the Bible. And so we said, if you're going to receive from this series, you have to lay aside your opinions. You have to lay aside your thoughts. You have to lay aside your ideas. And you have to cling to the Word. You know, there were so many things that when I came into a Word church, what I mean by that is a church that taught the Bible, that all of a sudden I thought, wow, never saw that before. Wow, I never was taught that before. But thank God, I went from ignorant into the know. Because it's the know category that the Bible says won't be destroyed, that won't be in bondage. It's the ignorant that stays in bondage. Hallelujah. I think of my sweet grandma, Grandma Margaret Anderson. You know, she loved Jesus. She did, and she lived a moral life, and she lived a faithful life. But Grandma Anderson went through a lot of things that I see in the Word now that were unnecessary. And this isn't to beat up on her. She's enjoying the pleasures and benefits of heaven. But she just didn't know. She didn't know. It's like the person that's walking around lost, that's not born again. Even though salvation's available to them, until you found out that Jesus died for you, until you found out it was a free gift, you did not partake of that promise. You did not benefit from that promise until you got out of the ignorant into the know. And we want to get people into the know of what God says about divine healing. Listen, if God preaches and Jesus is a preacher of sickness and disease, and that's what he wants for us, that's what I'm going to shout from the rooftops. But if God's a healer, if Jesus was a healer, if healing is available to us, then that's what I'm going to shout from the rooftops. And we saw this. You can't go by circumstances. You can't go by what your own circumstances are to judge God. So many people go through things and they automatically say, well, that must be God's will. That's what I'm experiencing. Well, there are people walking around downtown Allegheny, walking downtown Olean tonight, that they're on their way to hell. They've not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But God's will is that they would. He said that I don't want anybody to perish. I want everybody to go to heaven. But just because it's God's will doesn't mean that everybody partakes of it or everybody experiences it. And so we can't just look at someone's experience and say, well, so-and-so was sick. I've been sick with something in my body. Must be that's not God's will to heal. No, that's why God gave us the Word to navigate away from the things that we want to change. He gave us the force of faith. You know why he gave you faith? Because at times you're going to have to use it, praise God. He didn't give you faith for the easy times. He didn't give you faith for when there wasn't a mountain in your way. You don't need faith in those times. He gave you faith to overcome. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, apparently, we're going to have to do some overcoming. He says, even our faith, praise God. And so, we're going to have to lay aside and just cling to the Word. The Word's what keeps you safe from opinions and ideas. Amen. We saw in Exodus 15 that God stood up for the world and said, I am a healer. He said, I am the Lord that heals you. Why do so many people, Christians, argue with him and say, oh, it's not God's will to heal? No, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. He said in Exodus 15, verse 26, I am the Lord that heals you. He said in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 15, he said, I will take sickness from your midst. He said in Psalms 107, verse 20, I send my word. I'm the sender, and it leads to healing, praise God. He said that. In Psalms 103, verse 3 says, don't forget my benefits. Not only do I forgive your iniquities, I heal all your diseases. And so many people say, no, God's not a healer. God's not a healer. I'm not experiencing healing. So-and-so loved God, and they've been sick for years. I've been in church for years, and I've been sick. Well, flutie-tootie, who gives a rip? It doesn't change that God's got who God is. We don't judge God by the outward. We judge God by the Word of God. And he clearly says, I am. And people say, well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, you want to know who God is concerning the topic of divine healing? Just look at his son. Because Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19 and verse 30, he said, I only. Now, you do believe Jesus, right? That Jesus wasn't a liar. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only do what the will of him is. So, you can look at Jesus' 33 and a half years on the earth. 3.5 of it was ministry. You can look at that and say, that's what God wanted. Why? Jesus said, I'm only doing what he wants. I'm only saying what he wants me to say. I'm only carrying out his will. Well, what does the Bible say about Jesus? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, if you need that scripture. But what was Jesus doing? Going about. What they brought multitudes to him. Remember Matthew chapter 8, the leper came unto him and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you'll heal me. Well, Jesus said, I will. Well, why did Jesus say, I will? Because remember, he only looks into heaven and sees what the Father says. If God's will is not to heal, then Jesus was out on the earth for 3.5 years violating his Father's will, because all that man did was go around healing people. Amen. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. That's the picture of God. Jesus was God in the flesh on the earth carrying out the Father's mission. Well, yeah, but Pastor Mike, that was for Bible times. Well, I'm sorry, my Bible doesn't have an expiration date on it. In fact, I wish milk was this way. You know, I get really kind of nervous when the milk starts to get towards the date. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, my wife says you can go a couple days past that. No, I'm not. When it's done, it's done. It's going down the drain. She said, just smell. I said, no, the date's there for a reason. You're not going to tell me any different. So there's a date on there, but I wish the milk would say that it tastes the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never gets bad. See, the Bible's not like a carton of milk where there's an expiration date on it. No, Jesus said, I'm the same, Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Yesterday, what's yesterday, Bible times? He said, I'm the same yesterday. I'm the same today. What's today? We're looking at it. And forever. What's forever? Tomorrow. The next day. Oh, I know what's happened. Religion has come in and people have watered things down. Well, that was for the Bible time. No, that's for our time. He didn't love people in the Bible times more than he loves us. We're just as much his children as they were. So what? We get Jesus now and he took it away from us? No, that's stupidity. But we saw, again, don't take my word for it, look online. We saw it last week, that it's clear in the Old Testament that the Jews, the Israelites, God's people, had a healing covenant with him. It wasn't even a question, right? Remember when Jesus came up to the woman that had an infirmity for all those years? The Bible says she was bent over, I believe it was for about 18 years, bent over, couldn't know why stand up, Luke chapter 13. This is before Jesus died on the cross, so nobody's a Christian yet. She's a Jew, and they said, you can't heal her, it's a Sabbath day. And Jesus looked at her and said, ought not this woman, who, this Jewish woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this infirmity? And she was healed that day. Jesus looked at her and said, you're a Jew, you ought to be healed. Why? Because he knew the covenant. Yeah. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, or Deuteronomy chapter 28, when God broke covenant with the Israelites, said, this is what you'll get for following my ways. You look down through there, look at all the things that have to do with bodily healing and being blessed in your body. The Jews had a covenant of healing with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 8 and verse 6 that we have a better covenant upon better promises. Amen. Well, one thing that happened is we got saved and we became children of God. The Bible called the Old Testament saints, they called them servants. Moses was called a servant. And now in Galatians chapter 4, it says that we're no longer servants. We're children now. Well, I'll tell you what, the guy that comes over and puts mulch in my flower bed at home, who serves me, I want him blessed, I want him taken care of, but not like I want my children taken care of. Amen. And people say, oh yeah, the Jews had healing, but now God's kids don't. Come on now. Oh, the devil hoodwinks people. He hoodwinks people. Well, let's go on tonight. Praise God. That was the review I said was going to be quick. That was my version of quick. So, hallelujah. Are you ready? Tonight, you're going to be blessed. It's probably one of my favorite messages to preach concerning the healing series. Because finding out what belongs to us is so important. You know, when it comes to salvation, you are convinced, you know, with Easter coming up, you know, we celebrate Jesus dying on the cross, raising again for us after the third day. And now the Bible says if we'll believe on him, we'll not perish but everlasting life. How many of you believe that? I believe that's true, right? You know, Billy Graham could return from the dead. Jesus could walk through the door here tonight and tell me, Pastor Mike, you're not born again. I'd say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I am born again. You must be mistaken, sir, because I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Billy Graham could try to talk me out of it. The biggest preachers in the world could say, you're not saved. I'd say, oh, no, I'm saved. I believed on Jesus. I did what the Bible said. You know it in your heart, right? Amen. But what I'm trying to say is that we know, we are convinced that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Amen. We don't doubt it, do we? We don't doubt that at all. We know it's true. We believe it without a shadow of a doubt. Amen. But what most people don't know is that Jesus died not just for your sins. Jesus died just as much for your sins as he did your sickness. Now, don't get nervous now and run out of here and start putting me on Facebook. This is one of those cult weird churches. Just let me explain the Bible to you. You're going to see after tonight, and you're going to be excited you came. That Jesus, because you know when he was on that cross, the Bible says he became sin for us. But he didn't just become sin for us. He became sickness for us. And I know wheels are turning out. I've never heard that before, Pastor Mike. I've never heard that. Well, then let's get into the hearing part of it. Amen. I'm going to show you in the Bible over and over again tonight. Praise God. Because we're so convinced of it that that's how we were able to receive salvation. When you realize that he paid the price for your sickness and disease, the stuff that's on your body, the doctor's report, the symptoms that are trying to cause you to get out of peace, get over into worry, into fear, trying to hold you back as the body of Christ, you're going to say, no, 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 no. This sickness is trespassing on my body. And I've seen Daddy deal with the trespasser before. You all remember when I told you the story? I have told you that story before. I came out of my woods down in Frewsburg, New York, hunting, you know, on the Conowongo Creek. We had about 101 acres of swamp land growing up. It was my little personal playground in the woods growing up. And I came out of the woods one day. Dad was home taking a nap, and I was just a young boy. Came out of the woods. He put a shotgun in my hand way before. I remember the first time a couple deer came running across the field. That shotgun was so big, man, I was just letting rounds fly everywhere. I couldn't hold that thing up and aim it, and they deer were hopping and flying, and it was like World War II, but it was fun. Oh, man, I didn't hit anything, but it was fun. And so he put a gun in my hand way too early, and I don't think I should have been hunting by myself this day, but I came out of the woods, and there was the Orange Army. You all know what the Orange Army is, right? All in their orange, coming out of the woods, and coming on our private property that's posted all along the Conowongo. Well, what people used to do is they'd put in a boat downriver off our property and come in and hunt off a property because it was so good, had real thick swamp where all the deer like to be. And so there's about six of them there, and they come up to me and talk to me, and I'm thinking, or no, this is before they come and talk to me, they're walking through the field, and I run down the oil and gas road down there, and I go get Dad. Oh, man. See, when Daddy heard there was a trespasser on the property, he didn't just say, well, that's okay. Oh, no, 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 no. See, a lot of Christians get sickness on their body. They don't realize it's a trespasser. You know what they think? This is life. This is the hand that was dealt me. This is what I have to accept. But when you find out that it's trespassing on you, that Jesus died and paid for that, you'll say, no, you won't. And you'll learn. You'll get faith. You'll get that thing off you. So I know you want to hear the rest of the story. I know you do. And so I went down and I told Dad, I said, Dad, there's a bunch of people on our property. I mean, I never saw him move so fast. He got up and got the shotgun and a rifle out of the case, started loading it, putting a gun in each holster, started giving me guns and said, son, let's go. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, you've heard of the shootout at the OK Corral. I thought, here we go. The shootout at Frewsburg, New York. This is going to make the history books. And he went charging down that gas road to them. And he made sure to show them what he had and all. And I'm carrying guns. He's carrying guns. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, this is not good. And he was stern with them. And thank God it did not turn into World War III. But he dealt with them and got them off the property. Why? You don't just let a trespasser. Do you let anyone just come in, walk into your house that you don't know, and plop themselves down in their recliner, help themselves to the fridge and just watch your TV, and you just sit there and say, well, that's normal. No, you deal with that. You deal with that. So let's find out. Are you ready? Amen. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. You're going to see that Jesus died for your sins tonight, and he died for your sickness. Romans 5 and verse 12, praise God. That's a true story. I'm not allowed to lie up here, you know. That's not a good thing. That's a true story. It says, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, talking about Adam, and death by sin. So look at this. It says that sin entered by one man into the world. The result of the sin that came into the world was death. So prior to Adam and Eve messing up, death was not a common thing. Death was not to be found. It was eternal life on the earth. The Bible said death didn't come until sin entered. Sin caused death. Well, doesn't say the wages of sin is death. Absolutely. Well, so there we see it there, that by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Now, here's what you see. So we see where sin came from, or death came from, but also death entered through sin, but what's incipient of death is sickness and disease. Sickness and disease left untreated leads to what? Death. Absolutely. Well, you see in the Word that death entered in through sin. Well, sickness also entered in through death. Through sin, I should say. We see in the Word the lifespans in the Bible from the garden to now go from hundreds and hundreds of years down to only being promised 120, and hardly anyone gets to that anymore. Amen? It's just the truth. Why? Sin and different things have entered in, and we see that the world changed as the way it was. The Garden of Eden was a picture of heaven on earth. Everything got different from that place. There was no death. There was no disease. There was no sickness until sin entered into the world. Now, why do I tell you that? Well, the same way that sin entered in, sin was not a natural thing. Sin is a spiritual thing. How is sin dealt with? A spiritual way. Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin, that we would become the righteousness of God. Now, if we accept Jesus as a spiritual gift from him, our sins are forgiven spiritually. It's not a natural thing. Well, it's the same thing. If sickness, just like death, was a result from sin, then the same way that death is dealt with, how is death dealt with? We might die a natural death, but we don't die. We live forever. We do. We're eternal beings. Well, how did that come to be spiritually, right? Well, the same way that death was dealt with through Jesus came and defeated death, hell, and the grave, sickness is not a natural thing. It shows up in the natural. It manifests in the natural, but the root of sin, the root of it, the very beginning of sin was not natural. It was spiritual. Sin happened, a spiritual thing, which resulted in death, in sickness. Well, if Jesus paid for, we're going to see here that Jesus had to pay for our death so we could live forever. The only way we can get through with sickness as a Christian is to have him pay for that as well. And thank God you're going to see in the Word he did. Praise the Lord. I want to show you first, before I get to the meat of what I want to say tonight, that there were types and shadows in the Bible, in the Old Testament. If you're going to be a student of the Bible, you have to understand something. The Old Testament was under a veil, under the darkness. It was written in types and shadows. What do I mean? You don't interpret the Bible by the Old Testament. You interpret the Old Testament by the light of the New Testament. When Jesus came and shed light and revealed, and the veil was lifted, amen? They saw it darkly. They only saw it part ways back then, and now the Spirit of God's come and revealed things to us. So you don't reveal it. But in the Old Testament, if you're a student of the Bible, you'll know this, that there were many things that were types and shadows or foreseeing Jesus on the earth. Praise God. And so I want to show you a couple of those things in the Old Testament that had to do with healing that were like our Savior. Because what am I saying tonight? That Jesus died not only for your sins, but also your sicknesses. Amen? Well, do you remember over there in Exodus chapter 12? Now, for time's sake, you just take these notes down. And if you want to talk to me about it after, we can. But we don't have time to turn to every single place, because you know we're not trying to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. Remember in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover lamb? You remember that they would kill the lamb, take the blood and put it on the door. And the Bible says that the plagues and the diseases and stuff that would come, that would give them strength for their body. And they that had partaken of the Passover lamb would not receive that sickness or disease. Do you remember that in Exodus chapter 12? And then remember over there, and it was like 700 and some years later, King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. You write this down. He kept the Passover. And listen to what the Word says in 2 Corinthians 30, verse 20. The Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Why? They partook of the Passover lamb. Well, just like hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, when they put that Passover lamb, that blood on the door, the sickness and disease would pass over them and give strength to their bodies. Read it in Exodus chapter 12, and they didn't get sick. Well, Hezekiah says they got healing by what? They kept the Passover. You got to look this stuff up. Now, what is that a type and shadow of? Well, the Passover lamb, just like Jesus was a type, the lamb that was slain or the blood that was slain in the Old Testament was just a type and shadow of Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. Just leave healing off to the side now and talk about sin. They needed atonement in the Old Testament for their sins. When they did something wrong, there had to be a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed in the Old Testament, right? Thank God we don't do that anymore. I mean, my God, we'd be bringing your goats in. We don't want to get this carpet all dirty, all red. Thank God we have a new way now. Praise the Lord. But that's how they did in the Old Testament. There had to be atonement. There had to be a sacrifice for it. Well, what was the lamb and the bulls and the goats and things that shed their blood? Just types of Jesus. Wasn't he called the lamb that was slain? Yeah, his blood was shed so we could receive it. He was the atonement, or what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, that he was the atonement, or the propitiation of our for our sins, our replacement, our sacrifice. Praise God. But also in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was used for strictly healing in their bodies. Exodus 12, they received it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 20, they received it. Praise God. They received strength or healing in their bodies because of the Passover lamb. Well, what was the Passover lamb? Just a type and shadow of Jesus. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, let's find out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Now remember, Exodus chapter 12 and 2 Chronicles chapter 30 talk about the Passover lamb being used for healing in their body. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that there may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For even Christ, everybody say Christ, is our, everybody say our. It's talking about in Corinthians, he's writing to Christians, the church at Corinth, born again people. It says that he is our what? Passover. Sacrifice for us. Well, if the Passover lamb in the Old Testament was used for healing and strength in their bodies, we wouldn't get any less with our Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb, if we'll consume, partake of him, and I'll get to that in a second, praise God, is used for healing in our body. Ooh-wee. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me teach you something here. 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 29. Now this is talking about communion, which we're going to take up later, and I'll read some of these verses. But remember, if they partook of the Passover lamb properly in the Old Testament, they got free from sickness and disease. It passed right over them. The plagues, the sickness and disease. The Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah. And you look at that. They kept the Passover. Healing came to their body. Well, the Bible says Jesus is our Passover. What do we do? We have to do what's proper with him. What does that mean, do what's proper with him? Know what he provided. Use faith for what he provided. Amen? Now look at this in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. Talking about communion. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself. What's it talking about? Taking up the bread, taking up the wine in this day. We'll do juice tonight. It says, drinking damnation to himself. Now notice this. Not discerning the Lord's body. What's that mean? Not understanding what Christ's body did for us. So you can be in the understanding what Christ did for you, and you can be in the not understanding what Christ did for you. And many people know a measure of what Christ did for us, but they don't know the full measure of what Christ did for them, and therefore they don't receive the full measure. Now the next verse tells us, verse 30. For this cause. What cause? It just told us the verse before what cause. Not discerning or understanding what the Lord's body did. And most people say, I know what the Lord's body did. Went to the cross and became sin for me. That's part of it. But that's not all of it. He was also the Passover lamb. And the Passover lamb in the Old Testament, not only was shed, the blood was not just shed for the forgiveness of sins, it was for the healing of the body as well. It was. I'm sorry if this mows your grass sideways and pets your fur backwards. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. And it says for this cause, what cause? Not understanding. Or what? Being ignorant. Remember Jesus said, if you don't know, you'll be in bondage. Remember Hosea 4 said, if you don't know, you'll be destroyed. He said, for this cause, many. Everybody say many. Not all, but many. That means more than a little. That means more than a few. He said, many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. And this ain't talking about taking a nap. It's talking about taking a dirt nap. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. When it talk, that's the progression. People get weak, then they get sick, and then they die. Now, he said, many people, now he's writing to Christians, many people are weak and sick and die because they don't know what the body of the Lord did. Just like when you didn't know that Jesus died on the cross for you, you stayed unsaved. You were on your way to hell, even though it was provided for you. But when you understood, you partook of that and you became saved. Many people in the body of Christ have no idea that he paid for sickness and disease on that cross. You wait to see what we're going to show you tonight. You'll walk out of here so just moved and stirred up. But he says many for this cause. What cause? Not understanding, not discerning the Lord's body. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Don't know. But see, because when you don't know, you can't have faith for it. And how do we receive the promises of God? Hebrews 6:12 tells us, by faith, by faith, by faith. You can't have faith for something you don't know about. You didn't have faith for salvation until you knew about it. Many are weak, sick of money because they don't understand. And then they don't pursue it. Well, he's the Passover lamb. Go to Numbers chapter 21. Hoo-hoo-wee. Numbers 21. Glory to God. I'm fired up. Where's that bug? I want to find that thing. I'm ready. I'm going to stay here all night looking for that thing. Numbers 21. Numbers 21 and verse 8. Now look at this. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Now remember, they were getting sick and dying when the snakes would bite them. Yeah, they were getting diseased in their body. Their body was breaking down and they were dying. Well, Moses said, what are we going to do? The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. Don't the doctors thing have the snake on the pole? Where do you think that came from? The Bible. Said, put it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, what's that mean? Everyone that should succumb to the symptoms. Normally, naturally. When everyone's bitten, when they look upon it, what, the fiery serpent on the pole, they will live. What's that mean? They won't get the symptoms and die. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Didn't get sick or die. I say, well, what's this have to do with anything? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's find out what it has to do with it. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. Now remember, what was the serpent on the pole used for? To look at. If they look at it, even if they're bitten, what should happen when they're bitten? Symptoms should come in their body. It should start breaking down. They should get ready to die. They should get sick. They should get diseased. They should get weaker. But he said, no. If you'll look at the snake on the pole, if you'll look at it, God said you'll live. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 14. John 3 and verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Why would Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness? So they wouldn't die. So they wouldn't get sick. So they wouldn't get diseased. So they wouldn't get weak. So they wouldn't feel the effects. And as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so, or you could say it this way, in the same manner, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What was the serpent on the pole? It was a type and shadow of when Jesus was going to be on the pole. And now if you'll look at Jesus and understand and discern, you'll go from the weak, sick, and sleep category into the healthy, healed, and whole category. Amen. It's true. It's true. Well, let's keep going. I know you want more. I know it. I can see it in your eyes. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm amazed. Let me just tell you something. You want to be a mature Christian, a spiritual Christian that's going to grow? I'm amazed at the people that come into a place like this, what actually teaches the Bible. Now, the reason I say that is because I know a lot of places aren't. Why? Because I got a church full of them in South Dayton that told me. They've come from places they said, I never heard this before, but it's in the Word. Now they're receiving from it. I was the same way. My family's the same exact way. And didn't know it. But I'm amazed that people come in and hear something different than what they've been taught. And now what they've been taught, they don't have scriptures on. It's like the preacher that tried to keep me from going to the Bible school that taught on healing. He said, you know, healing's not of God. I said, oh, it is. I have the words all over. He said, no, it's not of God. I said, well, give me the verses. He said, I don't have verses for it. But Sister So-and-so, you know, she loved God and she died of cancer. God's not a healer. Didn't give me one scripture. And people get uncomfortable and they come here and say, well, that's not how I was taught. And here I'm giving them stuff that's going to change the rest of their life on this earth. And the devil gets in there, into their head. You do know that the parable of the sower, the Bible says that the first ground that the seed is sown on is the wayside ground. And the Bible says that Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. It says, and then it goes on in Luke's gospel and tells us how that was taken away. It says, when they didn't understand it. People come in and they hear things, I don't understand that. That's new. That's something different than I've ever been taught. Well, so what? Who cares what you've been taught? Who cares what you think? Who cares what granny so-and-so said, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, preacher so-and-so said? If it's not the word, let's get the word. Amen. I'm serious. Because I know this is new to a lot of people. But it's the Bible. My God, it's the Bible. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now look at this. Now you have to know something about Isaiah. He was called the Messianic prophet. What's that mean? He prophesied a lot about Jesus way before Jesus was ever on the earth. He's called the Messianic prophet. Well, in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, he's prophesying about Jesus. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now let me kick religion between the eyes here and explain some things. When it says we are healed, you know what that word healed is in the Hebrew? Because the Old Testament was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. It's the word Rapha. You know when God stood up in Exodus 15, 26 and said, I am the Lord that heals you? You know what that word in the Hebrew was? I am the Lord that Rapha you. You know what that means? Physical healing like a doctor. Go look it up. You know when God said in Exodus 23:25, I will take sickness away from you, amidst of you? He's talking about Rapha, healing. When he said in Psalms 103, verse 3, I will heal all your diseases. You know what that word healed is? Rapha. Forgive your iniquities and heal your diseases. Forgiving your iniquities is spiritual. Healing your diseases is a physical manifestation. They're different. But he says, I'll do both. I'll forgive and heal you. You know he said in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and Rapha'd them. It's the word healing. Now when it says by his stripes, we, by the stripes on Jesus, and I'm going to prove it even more, we are healed. That word healed, they're the same healed in Exodus 23, in Psalms 103. In Psalms 107, it's the same word, Rapha. So it says, by his stripes we are healed. Now what people will say, and what religion will say is, yeah, spiritually healed. We're spiritually healed. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. You were never spiritually healed. God did not put a Band-Aid on your spirit. No. The Bible says that you were born again. What's that mean? You weren't there, and you were born or reborn. You didn't get bandaged up. You got reborn. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not a bandaged up old creature, a new creature. You were never spiritually healed. Your spirit, when it says born again, you weren't born again. You didn't jump, your flesh wasn't born again. You didn't jump back into your mama and get born. But your spirit, the Bible says, was made brand new. It was not healed. Your spirit did not get a Band-Aid on it and fixed. No, your spirit was on its way to hell and you got reborn. You didn't get healed spiritually. You got healed physically. But now go back with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Oh, you're going to like this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, here's something that's interesting that you're going to like. It's going to get a little teachy, but let me just get through it. I can't get too deep, because you know what happens when Pastor Mike gets too deep? Can't get back out. I tell you, I try to stay on the surface here, you know, just get too deep. Griefs and sorrows there in that verse. See those two words, griefs and sorrows? In the Hebrew, those words are, I might be butchering these. Halai and makab, or makab. Griefs, halai, sorrows, makab. Now, here's what you have to understand. In a Hebrew concordance, if you look up the words halai and makab, they don't say griefs and sorrows. They say sickness and pains. Now, the Bible always will interpret the Bible. Everywhere else in the Old Testament that the word halai and makab were used, they were not translated griefs and sorrows. They were translated sickness and pains. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it's true. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, that word halai is not translated. Let's pull it up real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. The Bible will always interpret the Bible. I'm going to wait for it because I want to see it up there. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15, beginning of the Bible. Hallelujah. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Look that word up. It's the word halai in the Hebrew. Here's what I believe. I believe it just blew the translators' minds when they came across it. It says, Jesus, he himself bore our sickness and pains. It blew their minds, and they made it to say griefs and sorrows. He will take away from you all sickness, all halai, not griefs. Go with me to Job chapter 33 and verse 19. Job 33 and verse 19. Job's right before the book of Psalms. Job 33 and verse 19. Praise God. He is chastened also with pain, makab, upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong makab. Now go back with me to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Griefs and sorrows. Now, I'm going to even one up you and let the Bible even translate it even further for you. That should say, surely Jesus has borne our sickness and our pains, yet we esteemed him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, by chastised our peace upon him, by his stripes we are healed. How are we healed? Because he bore our sickness and pains. Now, let me give you the smoking gun of it all. Are you ready? Because what this is prophesying, Isaiah is looking and seeing on the cross that Jesus hung there. And he's seeing something being put on him. He bore something. What's bore mean? To carry. Those words should translate sickness and pains. Isaiah is looking into the future and seeing, wow, this, look at all the sickness and the pains that went on him. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. This is the best commentary I can give you. Throw away all the Hebrew meanings and Job and Deuteronomy. The best commentary I can give you about Isaiah 53 and verse 4 is found right here in Matthew chapter 8. Hoo-wee. Because what I'm telling you, what did you do? When you found out Jesus died for your sins, you said, I'll take some of that. Yeah. When you find out that Jesus died for your sickness, your pains, you'll say, oh, no, bye-bye, trespassers. Get the guns. Go get the guns. Yeah. Matthew chapter 8 in verse 16. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now Matthew is watching Jesus heal people. He says, oh, I'm a student of the Old Testament. I remember reading this in Matthew, or in Isaiah. Because remember, he didn't have someone translate it to griefs and sorrows. He had the Hebrew text there. He says, I remember reading Isaiah said that Jesus, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he took our infirmities and bare, surely he has borne our sicknesses. Matthew translated Isaiah nothing of sorrows and griefs. He knew that when Jesus healed people, it was because Isaiah prophesied about it. And what Isaiah was saying was Jesus bore our sickness and carried our pains. That's why we can now walk into healing as a child of God. Just the same way, how can you walk into salvation? Because he became sin so you wouldn't have to be sin. Amen? Go with me. We're not far from being done, but this is the meat and potatoes now. Oh, man. Go with me to, back with me to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Oh, you're going to love this. I love it. Every time I preach about this, I just get a picture of my Savior. It makes me love him more. But it opens my eyes to some things. Isaiah, I'm just going to tell you this. If you went on an all-expense cruise paid by Pastor Mike Anderson, I mean, everything's paid for. I'm telling you, everything's paid for. And the waiter or the waitress comes up and says, okay, here's your bill. Puts down a bill for your food and your drinks. You're just going to say, okay. And you have a little card that says all expenses paid. You're just going to be, oh, okay with that. I guess I'll pay for my meals all week. I guess I'll pay for my drinks all week. Everything's paid for. No, you're going to say, this has already been paid for. This is unacceptable. And when you find out that sickness has already been paid for, it'd be unacceptable in your life anymore. You won't treat it just like just some normal thing. So let's read it in Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Listen to what, this is the Isaac Leeser Hebrew English Bible. It's a translation that brings out the Hebrew into English to help us. He was despised and shunned by men, a man of pains, acquainted with disease. But only our disease did he bear himself, verse 4. And our pains he carried, verse 5. And through his bruises was healing granted to us. Now, look what it says in verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? For us. You know what it says in that Hebrew Bible, in that verse 10? But the Lord was pleased to crush him through disease. And he was crushed through disease. Now, this is the end of the message here. Buckle up and be ready. Here we go. Go to Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Now remember in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, surely he has borne. That word borne means to take away, to take for somebody. Well, there's no better picture of him bearing sickness and disease in his body than the passage that Isaiah prophesied about right here. There's nothing better that you can find on him actually taking sickness and disease in his body. Because what we're telling you tonight is that he was like the serpent on the pole. That he was like the Passover lamb. That he took our sickness. That when he was on the cross, just like he took your sin, he took your sickness. You wouldn't have to walk in sickness. And when it tried to get on your body, you could use faith to get out of it. In Isaiah 52 and verse 14, now, if somebody works a job with hard physical labor their whole life, how many of you know it's going to show up? It's going to show up in their bones, going to show up in how they move, how they walk, how strong, they're going to have effects if all their whole life, things are going to break down. It's going to, right? It'll be things that are going to be hurting, sore. Well, Jesus showed the effects of being on the cross. Look what it says in verse 14. I'm going to read it in many translations to help you understand. But look what verse 14 says. Now this is talking about Jesus again. Isaiah the prophet seeing Jesus. It says, as many were astonished or astonished at you, at Jesus. They were astonished at him. Why? His visage, that's his appearance, was marred more than any man ever before. And his form, the form of looking like a man, more than the sons of men. Wow. What does that have to do with anything, Pastor Mike? Well, let me help you. The Bible says it here that people were astonished when they saw him on the cross. And that his visage or his appearance was marred more than any human being they'd ever seen before. More than the sons of men. That's human beings. More than anyone they've ever seen. He was messed up more than anybody. This is what it says in the Amplified Bible. That's just a Greek and Hebrew translation that amplifies it for us. For the servant of God became an object of horror. Remember, they were astonished at him? If we have the Amplified, we could pull that up. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond the sons of men, just as many as were astonished at him. Listen to what the NIV says. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. Well, that's what King James said. He was marred more than any man, any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. He didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know anything about crucifixions, if you've watched any shows on them on History Channel, Discovery Channel, things like that, the one thing they never say about it is when somebody was placed on the cross, they didn't look at the body and say, we can't recognize that as a human being anymore. But the Bible says Jesus' appearance was marred more than, his form was marred more than a human. He didn't look human anymore. Nails in the hands, crown of thorns on the head, and beaten with a cat of nine tails on the back like he was, does not make you look unhuman. It messes you up, but it doesn't make you look unhuman. Past human likeness. Why did Jesus only take 3 hours to die? When it takes days for normal crucifixions for people to die, and what they do for a form of mercy? They would break their legs. Why? So they couldn't push up and get a breath anymore. So for a mercy, they'd break their legs and it would speed up the killing, or crucifixions would go for days. Why did Jesus die in 3 hours? Is he weaker than everybody else? How did Jesus all of a sudden not look like a human being on there? Well, if Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5 is true, he himself took our infirmities, our sickness, our pains. If that's true, that would mean every single sickness. Because if somebody's going to be healed by it, Jesus would have to pay for it. Every single sickness and every single disease would have to be put on his body. Well, you think about it now. Every single form of cancer in its strongest form would have been put on his body in an instant. People are going to be healed from it. Every single flesh-eating bacteria that's been named, not been named, would have had to been put on his body. Surely he bore our sickness. Nails don't make you look disfigured. A crown of thorns don't make you look unhuman. A cat of nine tails makes you look bloody, but it doesn't make you look like a picture of a horror film. Not even a human anymore. But you know what does? When you place every sickness and every disease on a human flesh, he wasn't God at that time. He's God on the earth, but he was 100% human as well. Why did he die in 3 hours? That's amazing he made it that long. Why? Because Isaiah looked in the spirit and saw, surely he bore our sickness and carried our pains. What did he see? He saw all the sickness. I remember a minister telling the story of a vision that he had. And you know, visions are in the Bible. You know, I've had a few of them, not many, but they're biblical. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, well, visions and dreams. It's just spiritual things. And he was in a church service, and they took up communion. This is when he just started going. And he said, Lord, I don't understand communion. He said, when he said that, the roof of the church opened up, and he saw Jesus on the cross, just like Isaiah did. Isaiah saw Jesus on the cross years before it happened. And he said, surely he bore our sickness and disease. What did he see? Well, he said, I don't understand communion. And so the Lord started talking to him. He said, Well, what communion is about is discerning or understanding what the Lord's body. The blood for the sins, the body for healing. The body was broken so we wouldn't have to be broken. The blood was shed so we could be forgiven. His body broken did not save you from your sins. The blood being shed did. Well, then what's the bread part of the whole communion? His body being broken with sickness and disease. Remember? Because you don't understand that. Many are weak, sick, and sleep. Or go through sickness and disease because they just don't know. And he said, I don't understand communion. So the Lord started dealing and said, this is what the blood's for. This is what the wine's for. The juice is for. But this is what the bread's for. And the Lord showed him. He said, I saw Jesus on the cross. And he said, all of a sudden through the air, he said they came slow at first with words. And they would hit Jesus, and it would jolt and jar his body on the cross. And he looked closely, and he saw tuberculosis. Boom, hit him. Cancer. Boom, hit him. HIV. Boom, hit him. He said, all these diseases and sicknesses, he said, some I recognized, some I didn't recognize. Started pummeling Jesus on the cross and jolting and jarring his body. He said, they came slow at first, and then it just came at like super, just bam, 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 hitting him. That's exactly what Isaiah saw. Surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Why did he die in 3 hours? Why did he not look human? Because every single sickness and disease was placed on your Savior's body so you wouldn't have to have it. Say, but I do have it. Yeah, I know. But that's what, just like when you were not born again. How'd you get born again? You got saved. You believed. Praise God. Starting next week, I'm going to show you how to start walking in divine healing. I don't care if you've been that way for 25 years. God's bigger than it. It doesn't belong on your body. It was paid for by Jesus. What does 1 Peter 2:24 say? By his stripes we are. What were the stripes? On his body. That's what the bread is in communion. Most people have no idea. The body was broken so ours wouldn't have to be. Think of what your Jesus paid for on the cross. It wasn't just your sin. He died for your sickness too. You see, well, and you know what's amazing to me? Is it's hard for people to believe that, but yet they'll believe that he died, was placed in the ground, and actually rose again. It's easier to believe that than to believe that God wants to heal your body? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense to me. It's more unbelievable to the natural mind that some guy rose again from the dead. But you can't talk us out of that. But, oh, healing, healing. Yeah, devil wants to keep you sick. Why? We're the body of Christ. Just like Jesus was the body of Christ, he wants us out there doing his work, healed and whole. Well, he's saying, I paid for it, and I'll receive it. Well, starting next week, we're going to show you how to walk in divine healing. Praise God. We have a superhero here tonight. I'm closing with this. His name's Rich Luce. He's sitting out in the hall. We made him sit in the hall tonight. He's a bad boy. Just kidding. He's all right. He's our usher, making sure we're all safe in here. But Rich came out of a church. I could tell testimonies about Julie. I could tell testimonies about Brady. I could tell testimonies about Kim. I could tell testimonies about Jeff. I could tell testimonies about a lot of people that came out of these places that dealt with sickness and disease in their body, had no idea. Well, Rich Luce was on a tractor. What was it? Was it a year ago yet? But the year in July. I mean, you know, Superman could stop a train. Rich Luce can stop a truck. He did. He got hit by a truck. He's on his tractor. Shouldn't be here, naturally. Shouldn't be here. Now, before he came into this church and heard the word, he had no idea what belonged to him. No idea what belonged to him. You know what he told me? He said, Pastor, when I was laying there and came to, I didn't pray for my healing. You know what prayer is? Prayer is a request. I didn't pray for my healing. You ain't got to pray and ask for something that already belongs to you. Yours. He said, I laid there. He said, because I've been taught the word, I knew what was mine. I knew what was mine. It's like when the doctors told me I'd have something for the rest of my life, have symptoms for a year, and then have something for the rest of my life. I said, that don't belong to me. Oh, no. But you can't do that unless you know. And then I use faith. It's just like Julie being told she'll never get cured of her asthma. You're going to have fibromyalgia the rest of your life, be on all this medication. She came in and heard the word, said, that ain't true. That ain't true. The things you've been told in your body, Brandy, we just laugh about them. You get healed. I'm telling you, this stuff's real. But until you learn about and find out, and that's what we're going to do next week, find out how. Okay, if he died for it, how do we receive it? Because you had to receive salvation a certain way, you receive healing the same way. Amen. Amen? If you have any questions about this, my number's on the back of this email. My goodness, don't just say, well, that was weird to me, or I'm not sure about that. Let's find out what the Bible says, and let's watch our lives be different. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for all you've done, for all you've given to us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to walk in divine health. Hallelujah. Kim Lai, real quick, would you put up 3 John verse 2? 3 John, I'm done preaching, don't worry. I just want to show you something. 3 John verse 2. Look at that scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things, who's the beloved? His children. I wish above all things that you would prosper. Well, what parent here doesn't want your kids to prosper? God's not less of a parent than you are. And be in health. Does God really want this for me? Do you really want it for your kids? I don't want my kids one day walking in sickness and disease. I don't want my kids one day going through poverty and lack. And he says, beloved, my children, I wish above all things. You already got born again. That's the best thing. But now when you're born again and saved, I want you walking in prosperity and health. Why does the devil try to lie to us, keep us down? Because he doesn't want us to be forces on the earth. Father, we worship you and praise you tonight. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you for dying on that cross for us, Lord, for our sickness, for our disease. Now, Lord, the greatest thing you ever did for us was die for our sins. Now, if that was all that was included, if that was the whole package, the whole kit and caboodle was just salvation, man, I'll take it, sign me up. But, Lord, if there's more, just like my 5-year-old daughter, 6-year-old daughter now says, I want more. I want more. If there's more, I want more. Well, Father, if there's more, I want more. And, Lord, I thank you there's more. Salvation's great. We're not belittling it. It's the greatest ever. But thank you for healing. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Everybody here, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that, I know 100% for certain I would go to heaven. And you say, Pastor, how could you be so sure? I say, well, because I did what the Bible said. He said, if I'd believe on Jesus, I would not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here, or if you're listening online right now, or in the future via the archives, and you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Well, that's a tormenting thought. Jesus paid the price so you could go to heaven. It's a simple free gift. You're not joining this church. You don't ever have to step foot in here or come back to go to heaven. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, have anyone stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But if you're here tonight, you could say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. But you can say, I believe in Jesus. I do believe Jesus was real. It's just believing and receiving him. With heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to for the very first time, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody in this building want to receive the Lord for the very first time? Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it. Even if you've had a bad decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, just repent and get back in with God. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus tonight? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that we're all walking with you, all on our way to heaven. But if by chance there is somebody in here or listening online, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And if you're in that category, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. Just like that criminal on the cross did when Jesus died. He wasn't a churchgoer. The world wouldn't call a good person. All he said was, I believe. And Jesus said, okay, that you're in. That's the qualification. You just cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you died and I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll do that, praise God, he'll save you. Hallelujah. Get a hold of us. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. Now, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But if you want to learn all that God has for you and walk into the abundant life that he promised you, you need to get a pastor and be under a place that's teaching you how to do this. We'll preach it here, but there's other places as well. Father, we just thank you so much. We love you tonight. We just glorify you. We all praise you together. We love you, Jesus. Come on and thank him. We thank you, Lord. Now, in a second, I'm going to ask, you can look up here. In a second, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward with the communion elements. Now, here's the thing. This is a time of reverence and a time of worship to recognize the juice representing the blood that was shed so that we could walk in forgiveness of sins, the body that was broken by his stripes. We are healed. So I ask during this time that we not be communicating with one another, that we not be talking, that we be in an attitude of worship, okay? Amen. So brothers, come forward. Brandy, if you go ahead and put that song on. And just worship him. I'm just going to worship him, and they'll pass those out, and then we'll take communion together. Don't eat the elements until we do this together here, but thank you, guys. And, of course, give them time. We're going to get more ushers around here. Praise the Lord. God will provide. You can turn that up a little bit. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. So grateful. Go ahead and turn it up even more, Brandon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying and paying that price. You went through such hell, so I wouldn't have to. You endured and suffered so much, so I wouldn't have to. You made a way for us. Thank you, Father. Bless you. Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, Paul writes, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead and break the bread and go ahead and partake of it. Lord, we're so thankful for your body being broken for us. It was a reason it was broken. Reason those stripes were laid on. And all that you took on that cross for us to walk in bodily and physical healing. Thank you, Lord, so much. We praise you for it. It says in verse 25, "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Go ahead and drink. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you that the juice represents the blood that was shed on Calvary. That we can walk in righteousness, in the forgiveness of sins, for we have been washed by the blood. We thank you for the blood that was spilled and the body that was broken. We are forever grateful to you. Can we just all thank him together tonight and praise him for what he did? It would be wrong to not thank him. It would be backwards and out of order to not thank him for what he's done. Lord, we bless you tonight. We worship you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Now, Father, as we go forward, I pray everybody would get a revelation of this. And Father, these things would be branded in their heart. And Lord, as we go forward tonight in our fellowship night, Father, we pray that the food would be blessed to our body. Father, we thank you for strength and for healing. And Father, we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. If you want to pass the cups to the center aisle, the ushers will come and get those. And don't forget, head right down to the fellowship hall. No Tuesday service, but go down there and fellowship. Just begin to go down there and help yourself, and you are dismissed. Praise God. Thanks be to God who won this call, says us to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. We have overcome, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have overcome by the power of your name. Jesus, you're the us.